The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
And Michael D. Higgins, the president, the latest to express his condolences and share his sympathies with the people of Liverpool as well. We've had confirmation from the Merseyside police as to how that gentleman last night in his car got into those celebrations. He followed an ambulance through a raised barrier, is how he gained access. We all know what happened after he gained access, because the first instinct of so many people who were there was to reach for their phones, film it, and then share those videos online. Police have been asking people not to share them, but, you know, that horse has bolted to a degree. Stephen O'Leary from Olitico is with me, and Brendan Kelly, the psychiatrist as well. Brendan, what feature of human psychology are we satisfying when we forget about the sharing, but when we watch these videos? You know, some people will actively seek them out.
Yes, yes. Well, obviously the sharing of these videos can be very distasteful and inappropriate, but it does map onto a human need to share, if you like, the human need to gossip, if you will, to pass on information to other people and to command their attention as a result. And often the more dramatic, the better for that purpose. So the gossip in the town or the village would always pass on the bad news at high speed. And I suppose social media and smartphones, like in so many things, they magnify or they amplify that basic human tendency. Now, as regards watching them and sharing onward, the same thing kicks in, but there is a certain voyeuristic element. And of course, you know, we can become desensitized. We've known for decades that, say, taking a photograph of something desensitizes a person, puts a barrier between them and the humanity of what is happening. So we see the same with the phones being used as cameras and video cameras. It somewhat distances a person emotionally from a situation where, in fact, a person would know it's inappropriate to film, inappropriate to share, but there is this distancing that happens with the device, be it the camera or nowadays more often the smartphone.
So, sorry, it's a coping mechanism when they take the phone out of their pocket and film it.
Yeah, it can be a coping mechanism, but it's also an instinct. It's what we do now, and then it gets rewarded with this distancing from the emotional intensity. And some people have a genuine, authentic feeling that they need to document and share in order to share the truth, share the story. But also then this commands attention. You get people responding or people liking. And, you know, we are addicted to social connection and attention. So
yeah,
you can see why this runs away.
They're
with
chasing
itself.
The dopamine of all those likes on some level, are they?
Yeah, they are. That's what it turns into. And this can have the regrettable effect of desensitizing or distancing people in situations. Now, this mightn't be the best example, but situations where perhaps people should be intervening. There are lots of examples of people filming things where if they weren't filming, they could have helped.
Yeah, this is a much lower level, but I remember walking down Nassau Street, and I always remember it because it was the night my daughter was born, and I was walking home from the hospital late at night, and a guy fell over and he split his head and he was bleeding, and there was guards. So I kind of just shouted down to them and they ran over, and I happened to be on the phone to the fire brigade, so I had to wait there. And we looked up, myself and the guard, and there was a guy just standing right there filming the whole thing. And now the guard lifted him out of it, you know, yeah, absolutely. And he kind of sheepishly ran off. But it was just interesting that, you know, that we both looked around and there was somebody just hovering right a couple of feet away from this person who was, you know, had cracked his skull in the pavement, blood everywhere. And on some level, I wonder, what is he getting out of this? But that's probably what he's going to get out of it ultimately, is some sort of positive feedback, because it'll be shared everywhere.
Yes. And this desire to document and to film and to photograph everything is, you know, has renewed strength now that we have renewed capacity in our pocket with the smartphone. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And it's regrettable when it produces this distance, this maybe lack of immediate empathy. And of course, sometimes people feel it diffuses responsibility, that maybe if they share this, they have less responsibility for acting. So it can diminish, if you like, the human desire to help as well.
On the other hand, and maybe Liverpool is a poor example of it last night, because there would have been so much official footage and so many kind of news outlets there, accredited news outlets. We have seen people filming things, you know, awful things, and it's the only way we know about them. You think of places like Gaza, the only way we know about some things happening is that somebody takes out their phone and films the aftermath of some awful incident.
That is true. But these are almost entirely separate incidents, in so much as, like you say, there's a million people on the streets of Liverpool on this day. And because this is a joyous occasion and a cause for celebration, there are people naturally filming in the moment anyway, you know, not knowing what's about to occur, but they have their phones already out. They're already capturing what is like a celebration, right? Mm. This really positive moment. And then this occurs. So in a way, too, they're almost primed, right? Like, there's people who've got their phones out already taking footage that's already there. But this is also not the first time that very soon after a major incident like this, the police or others have had to come out and ask the public to stop sharing content like this online.
Does it work? Do you see traffic, online traffic, changing in the wake of official police requests?
The incident in Liverpool yesterday is interesting because you tend not to, right? In so much as the sharing of it may decrease. But at that point, it's essentially too late. I mean, the content is out there and it's already being shared. It's by the time, in most cases, the police or others step in to say, stop sharing this, it's peaked. Right. It's peaked in terms of its sharing potential. Right. Now, it may cause some to stop, some to pause, some to maybe delete. But there are so many copies and it has spread kind of through so many networks that the content is already out there. But what was really interesting was there is an increased awareness now amongst the police and others about the role social media plays in the immediate aftermath of an incident like this. And there were real lessons learned in terms of communication from a couple of years ago when that incident occurred in Salford. And in the kind of like days afterwards, there was no official statement from the police in relation to the person who was apprehended. And that led to social media filling the gaps. So on the one hand, what we saw in this incident was real lessons learned from the Merseyside police. And very quickly, they released not only a statement to say, please do not share this footage, but critically details about the individual who had been arrested, and did so based on the learnings from an inquiry that happened into how the police communicate in these situations. So I think what we're really seeing is there's an absolute awareness of the role social media, for good or bad, plays in these moments. And like the police, as I say, and others are trying to just keep up. With how it's being used and how it's being shared.
And are there ever attempts by authorities or policymakers to get the companies who run these platforms to try to take down the videos?
I think different social networks have taken different attitudes towards those type of requests, and the policies of the major networks, right, are pretty well documented. Mm. I mean, whether we like it or not, real-time content, like real-time news, breaking news, really is limited to kind of one network, right? I mean, people go to X. That's where news breaks, right? You don't have that breaking news effect on platforms like Facebook or Instagram or others. It's a slightly more delayed piece. Mm. And as a result, the real-time element often makes it harder to kind of like either police or track or take down content that appears like this very, very, very quickly. And then there's the question of the line. Like, what would have been appropriate to share yesterday?
Well, I was going to ask Brendan, you that question. Is there a gruesomeness tipping point?
Well, no, it's almost impossible to draw a line about what is or is not appropriate to share, because you don't want to prevent the exposure, as you said, of, you know, genuine atrocities or genocide or things like this that would not otherwise come to public attention. If we regard social media as basically the village square, the question becomes, what limits do you put on all speech in order to prevent certain abuses?
Is there though a gruesomeness tipping point on a personal level for people? You know, is there evidence that, like, I'm not going to give the example of last night, actually, because there's still people in hospital. But let's say an incident happened and it was just more like it was bloodier, for want of a better word. You know what I mean? And there was quite obviously people being killed and maimed in a video. Yeah. Is that does that you know, are people on a human level, and Stephen, I might put it to you about the kind of patterns of how those videos are shared that are more gruesome, but is on a human level, are you more likely to go, ugh, no, sure, I'm not sharing that one?
I mean, I think everyone has a line of discomfort and then a line of absolutely, I will not share this. But it does vary from person to person. And that has to be pitted against the seductive design of these social media platforms, which are literally designed and evolved based on human behaviour or basic tendency to compare ourselves with other people, our desire to reach out for social connection, our hunger for likes and wants. So quickly the threshold changes when it's balanced against these things and as sophisticated a product as these social media platforms are. So it does vary from person to person. And I guess my threshold for sharing things would be quite low, but other people maybe, you know, they don't mind so much. And it's always pitted against the fiendish design of these platforms to exploit aspects of human nature.
And Stephen, is there, I mean, this is again, a perverse way of kind of wording this, given what we're talking about. But I mean, is there a sweet spot in terms of you know, gratuitous kind of violence that means a video goes viral, goes around the world, and beyond which it just won't get shared?
I think purpose is the word I come back to here, right? So like maybe two words, empathy and purpose, right? So from an empathetic point of view, the simplest question someone who's about to post or share or engage with a post can ask themselves is, how would I feel if this was a member of my family? How would I feel if someone close to me had been affected by this incident directly and this was being shared, right? That's the first question that gets asked. And then the second is there a positive impact to what I'm about to do? So there are people who will make the case, for example, that if you were in Gaza at the moment and you see an incident that is horrific and you believe by sharing that you can draw attention to atrocities, then you potentially have the ability to affect change, to bring pressure down and to change and have a positive impact. Those are things that individuals have to make a call on themselves, right? There is individual responsibility when you post on a social network. You are the one who clicks send on the post. But those are for me, are two of the kind of key questions that someone could ask.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the fundamental question, if that was me lying there injured on the road, would I want images shared or not? But of course, you know, human instinct takes over. We reach, you know, and we tend to forget that question, but it is useful to remind ourselves of it at these moments.
Brendan Kelly, psychiatrist, Stephen O'Leary from Olitico. Thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.